Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Each year, thousands of Christians are killed around the world for confessing the Christian faith. Each year, there's also a ranking of the worst countries in which to live if you are a Christian. As you can imagine, that list changes a little each year, but there are rarely any big surprises in those countries that make the top 10. The latest list shows North Korea, Afghanistan, Somalia, Libya, Pakistan, Sudan, Eritrea, Yemen, Iran, India, Syria, and Nigeria as the worst of the worst. This year there was one surprise, and that is India made the top 10 for the first time. What shouldn't be surprising is that communists, socialists, Muslims, and Hindus all hate Christians for one reason or for many. When it comes right down to it, in one of these countries, you can either renounce Christ or forfeit your job, your possessions, your family, and even your very life. That's the choice. Last week in Uganda, an 11-year-old boy was sold by his mother and then sacrificed by the Muslim witch doctor that the mother sold the child to, because his father had converted to Christianity and brought the young boy with him through baptism into the Christian faith. This 11-year-old boy did not give up the Christian faith, but died as a Christian at the hands of wicked people and a wicked religion. But the message that was sent throughout Uganda is loud and clear. If you convert from Islam to Christianity, you will lose your family and your children. They will suffer for your apostasy. Last week in India, 3,000 Hindus raided the homes of Christians in a small village simply because they are Christians. They destroyed their property and all of their possessions while those Christians fled for their very lives. When the Hindu police officers showed up, their only response was to blame the Christians for not contributing to the Hindu gods during the yearly festivals and therefore angering their neighbors. Become like us. Support what we support. Believe like we believe. Keep your exclusive Christian faith to yourself and out of our sight, or you have no rights to anything. We could go on with this for a long time. These things don't make national news, but still they happen each week. Hundreds of thousands of Christians each year put to death for confessing Christ. If you don't think that the difference between religion or churches is that big a deal, if you don't think that doctrine is that important, or that you can be ignorant of the Christian doctrine and just kind of float through this life, or that that doctrine doesn't affect the way you live every day of this life, if you don't think you have an urgent need for the Lord's Word and for Jesus' body and blood, if you don't think that Sunday mornings are that important, then think about these stories from Uganda and India. Think of that little 11-year-old boy who died confessing Christ. And then wake up. Just because you aren't being persecuted and put to death for your faith here in Billings, Montana, doesn't mean that your brothers and sisters in Christ around the world aren't being abandoned and persecuted and killed. The fact that we aren't being persecuted as they are for this Christian faith might actually mean that we aren't doing a very good job of confessing and living this Christian faith ourselves. Last Sunday, we celebrated the festival of Michael and all angels, and we heard about the war in heaven. We heard about how Michael and the good angels defeated the devil and his evil angels by the blood of the Lamb. That text ended with these words of warning. Woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows that his time is short. Now, as the leaves and the weather begin to change from summer to fall, so too do the texts of the lectionary become more apocalyptic. The end of the church year is rapidly approaching, and that is a powerful reminder to us that the day of judgment is also close at hand. In the words of this parable, it's harvest time. And the master is looking for the fruit from his vineyard. He wants his wine. So then, you in the vineyard, how's it going with the digging, the watering, the weeding? What of the harvest, the fruit, the wine? Have you been caring for the Lord's vineyard as he has given you charge to do? Have you listened to those the master has sent seeking the fruit of repentance? Do you share the fruit of the vineyard with your master, giving back to him from what he has given to you? Or have you deceived yourselves into thinking that you deserve all the good things that you have in this life? What do you think the master will do to those servants who do not produce the fruit of repentance? Who just go through the motions of confessing this Christian faith, who don't really care about the master or his vineyard or anyone else for that matter. As you know from the text, the Pharisees and the religious establishment are the tenants in the vineyard of God as Jesus presents this parable to them. They, along with their parents and their grandparents before them, all the way back through the history of Israel, are the ones who beat and mistreated and killed the prophets that God had continually sent to them, seeking fruit, calling for repentance, and preaching the truth. Those listening to Jesus on this day are the very same ones who are planning to seize the owner's son and to put him to death. Their thoughts and their actions betray them, even to their neighbors, but most certainly to Jesus. They are doing their part in fulfilling the prophecy, which says the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. It's important to remember that Jesus tells this parable just after the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. It's Holy Week. This isn't something that's a long time off. This is something that's about to happen now. Jesus is going to death. This is the week that he will celebrate and change the Passover forever. This is the week that he will be arrested and then led off to the cross outside of the walls of the city. This is the week that he will overthrow the devil's reign with his own blood painted on the cross. Those wicked tenants of the Lord's vineyard recognized the master's son. They knew exactly who Jesus was. They knew that he was the rightful owner of the vineyard. They knew that he had come calling for them to repent and believe. They knew that he had come calling for the fruits of the vineyard. But like all the prophets before him, they rejected him and they put him to death. You see, Jesus and the Pharisees have very different theologies, don't they? Different beliefs about God. Perhaps the Pharisees, like many today, thought that God wasn't going to judge them, thought that they were free to do whatever they wanted because they were God's chosen people. You see, the Pharisees and the religious leaders had been given the vineyard. This is Israel. This is the church of God. They had been handed the truth. And yet over all those years, they rejected it. Oh, they loved the vineyard. They loved the power and the influence and the standing that it gave them in society. They loved the idea that they were God's chosen people. You could say that they loved the wine. But when it came to loving the master of the vineyard, not so much. Or at least, not on his terms. They only loved him on their own terms. So long as what he said to them agreed with what they already believed. So long as what he said to them was easy for them to accomplish. Which sounds like far too many today who claim to be Christians, but who don't like what Jesus says in his word about sin, about repentance, about hell, and even about eternal death. I mean, my God wouldn't judge or condemn anybody, right? That's what the world believes. This sounds too much like those who have vowed at their confirmation and at their public confession of the faith that they, like this 11-year-old boy in India would, or in Uganda, excuse me, would rather die than fall away from this Christian faith. And yet after their confession, they can hardly manage to attend church regularly or receive Christ's body and blood often, as he says. They promise they'd rather die than fall away from the faith, but they can't even do the far simpler thing of being in God's house. You see, theology and practice go hand in hand, and they matter a great deal. Many in this world have given up families and possessions, and plenty of them have died confessing the Christian faith. Is it that important to you? Would you give up everything? What when the world tells you you can no longer hear Christ preached and proclaimed? What when our government says, sure, you have the freedom of worship, stay in your building. You can't practice it out there. What when they come again and close this space because we aren't following the rules? Do you love the Church of Christ, his vineyard, enough to keep hearing the word? Or are you afraid of death? Do you love the vineyard and its fruit? How about the master of the vineyard, the one that is the most important? Does his cross fit your idea of God? Or are you looking for a different kind of Savior, a different kind of King, a different kind of Master? If you are, then you have a real problem just like these religious leaders of Jesus' day. For as you know, there is no other God than this one who has constantly sent his prophets and messengers, even though they were treated badly and put to death. And in that is the gospel. There is no other God than this one who sent his only son, the true heir, even when he knew what the wicked tenants were going to do to him. The wicked tenants did succeed in Jesus' day in their wicked ways, just like their parents had, and they put to death the heir. But what they intended for evil, God in his perfect way was working for good. Now these things have been written down for your good, so that you do not fall into the same pit as many who have come before you. It is in this beaten and crucified son, the rightful heir of the vineyard who was thrown out of the vineyard, who was rejected by the church and by the world, it is in this one who has that you have been set free from your sins. From your sins of denying the Father's bounty and his mercy, set free and forgiven for your sins of being selfish and not caring as much as you should about Christ's word and his church, not worrying about your brothers and sisters in Christ around the world who are dying for this confession and faith. It is this one who has forgiven you your sins and then with his very own blood has poured out to you life and salvation. The blood that he gives you to drink, the same blood that defeats the devil and death. In spite of the suffering and the persecution of this evil world, God, in his great mercy and love, has continued to send prophets and evangelists and messengers to proclaim his truth. He sent his son to pay the price for all your sins. And the world will continue to hate Christ and his church, to persecute and put to death those who believe and proclaim the truth. And it will be that way until the very last day, until the Master returns. And yet God is patient, and he is long-suffering, And even though we often suffer at the hands of unbelievers, he continues to send his word out so that many more will hear and believe. He keeps sending stewards of his mysteries to proclaim his word and to give his sacraments for the life of the world. So whether you are one day martyred for confessing Christ, as many of our brothers and sisters around the world have been and will continue to be, or if you live a long and happy life in the great abundance that the Lord has given to you, remember that the final day is quickly approaching. If the end was near then, how much nearer is it today? And only those who reject the messenger and the message will be judged and thrown out of the vineyard. Only those who are covered in the blood of the heir, who have his blood painted on their foreheads and upon their hearts, whose sins have been washed away, will enter with him into the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom. The tenants in the vineyard seized the son. They were hoping to gain the inheritance. But they cannot steal that which is only given as a gift. God has given you this gift. He has planted you in his vineyard, in his church. His kingdom belongs to you. Not because of anything you have done, but because he is generous and merciful and abounding in love. He has given you everything you have in this life, and he has given everything you need to enter into eternal life. And if that day of persecution comes here, he will give you everything you need to stand up on that day as well. He has prepared a place for you in heaven, and he has given you a great feast for all eternity. In his mercy, he even gives you a foretaste of that feast which is to come in the holy supper of his son's body and blood. So come then to the Lord's table. Participate in the feast with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, with the martyrs who are below the throne in heaven, whose voices cry out, "How long, O Lord?" Come to the table, enjoy the fruit of God's vineyard, and then live always in his peace, in the knowledge of the forgiveness of your sins. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. They shall not be put to shame. Precious are you in the sight of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guards and keeps your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.
Hi, this is Pastor Ryan Wendt. You've just listened to a sermon preached at Christ the King Lutheran Church in Billings, Montana. I hope that you heard God's law that reveals your sin, and his precious gospel, the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ, that your sins are forgiven for his sake. These sermons are posted not as a replacement for gathering together with other believers around Christ's word and sacraments, but for our members who are away at school, at work in foreign countries, or who for some other reason are not able to be with us regularly. If you've been listening and do not have a church home, please consider contacting us through our website, and I will be happy to help you find a faithful congregation and pastor near where you live. Or if you're listening to us locally, why don't we get together for a few minutes and talk more about what we believe? If you'd like to support the work the Lord is doing through his word in this congregation and in our community, please get in touch with me through our website. The Lord's richest blessings to you this week and always in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.